The family, in reality, is the church that you have at home. So the relationships you have in your family is very important, because a healthy family relationship equates a healthy church. Now, if you haven't been here for the last 2 weeks, we started our series on relationships. We started talking about marriage. And it was very interesting. We learned that marriage is a choice. It's a choice that we make every day. We make that choice to be joyful, to love our spouses, and to be at peace in our marriages. And that choice is reflected in the way we treat each other. You either live your marriage for God's glory, or you live it for your own glory. The Bible says love bears all things. We never give up on our marriage, especially at times when it's hard. The Bible says love believes all things. You know, our marriages stand on the pillar of trust, and trust is earned when our actions match our words. The Bible says love hopes all things. The hope of your marriage should be anchored in Jesus. And the Bible says love endures all things. When your spouse is making your life difficult for you, you don't look for a way out. You look for a way through your marriage with humility, with patience, and with love, and with complete trust and hope in the Lord. Last week, we talked about our relationship with our parents. That was very, very interesting. We talked about honoring our parents. Our relationships with our parents will fall into three main stages in life. When we were children, when we're teenagers, young adults, and adults. And we know that the dynamics of our relationships with our parents change through the stages. We talked about children obeying your parents. The Bible says, children, obey your parents, for this is the right thing to do. We also need to respect our parents. We honor them by showing respect to our parents. And when we show respect, we should also show that we accept them for who they are. Our parents are not perfect. And just like you, we all come from a place of limitation. Accepting means knowing that you cannot change them, but you can change the way you treat them and how you respond to them. We also learned that honoring our parents means forgiving them. Accept, forgive. We show respect by forgiving them. Why? Because we also need forgiveness, because we are not perfect. And we also respect our parents by listening to them. The Bible says, listen with respect to the father who raised you, and do not despise your mother when she's old. It's not just listening to them, but listening with respect. And as we are adults, just like most of us here, we honor our parents by appreciating them. Appreciating them for their sacrifices and all that they've done for us. And we also appreciate them by caring for them. The Bible says, if you do not look after your own family, you are worse than an unbeliever. So we care for our parents by supporting them. And today we'll be talking about the next most important relationship in our family, our relationship with our children. And next week, we'll be talking about our relationship with ourselves, which is really very, very important. And after that, the last week of July, we'll be talking about our relationship with the community. Incidentally, we'll also be celebrating our 7th anniversary on July 29. So you're all invited. We heard from the hospitality team that we'll have lechon and pinakbet and unlimited rice. So you're all invited on the 29th of July. Who among you here are parents? Raise your hands. All of us here in this room. We're all parents, right? Did you know that there are four main types of parenting, according to psychologists? Regardless of how we were raised or our own personal experiences as a child with our parents, our parenting style would most likely fall under these four categories. Number one, we have the authoritarian parent who focuses on obedience and punishment over discipline. That's the authoritarian parent. We also have the authoritative parent who enforces rules but tolerates or balances it with positive relationship. And we also have the permissive parent who's not big on rules. They say kids will always be kids, you know, just let them be. And finally, we have the uninvolved parents. They provide little guidance, nurturing, or attention. Some of us are predisposed into one of these styles, and I believe there are many of us who have been, you know, all of these at one point in our children's life. Although we provide the venue for this to be discussed, Katz, Dr. Dean, discussed a very interesting topic on ages and stages, but we're not going to be talking about parenting today. We will look into what the Bible has to say about what godly parenting means. Everyone who has a child becomes a parent, but not every parent is a godly parent. Today, I will share with you three things about godly parenting. I want you to remember three P's, the three P's of biblical parenting. Number one is the prerequisite of biblical parenting. Number two is the practice of biblical parenting. And number three is the purpose of biblical parenting. We may all have the best and noble intention for our children, but those things, they do not necessarily make us good parents or godly parents. There is a prerequisite to biblical parenting. You know what that is? The prerequisite to biblical parenting is that the truth of who God is must first be in our hearts. This simply means that you cannot teach your children what you do not know. You cannot share, speak, or testify to your children about someone you know little of. So we start by asking ourselves, how well do I know God's words? And if I know them, is it just here in my head, or is it in my heart? The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, "And these words that I commanded you today shall be on your heart." Standing firm in the Word of God is a prerequisite to biblical parenting. God's Word is not something that we just read to our children. It's not something that we just read to feed our minds. It's something that we store in our hearts, something that we live out every day. You see, there's a big difference between knowing God and knowing about God. You can know about God, but you can only truly know Him if you have a relationship with Him. It's easy to say, oh yes, you know, I've read a chapter today, I've finished my devotional. The challenge is how to really let the truth of God dwell in your heart and being lived out in your life, not just at the moment that you read them, but as you meditate on them day and night until it becomes a part of who you are. The second P of biblical parenting is practice. How do we live out this truth about God and practice it as parents? We practice it by teaching it to our children, by teaching them the way of the Lord. And remember, teaching our children, parents, is not an option, but the command given by the Lord. Verse 7, it says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you sleep. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, on your forehead. You shall write them on your doorposts, your gates, on your house." Yes, we can pass on to our children good values, virtues, principles in life. We can teach them to be street smart. We can teach them how to be successful in life. But most importantly, what we need to pass on to them is what we know about God's Word, what we know about God's work, and what we know about His ways. And we do it diligently, as the Bible says, as we sit, as we talk, as we walk, as we sleep, as we wake up in the morning. We make every opportunity a teaching opportunity. More than reading the Bible to our children and posting verse posters on our walls, teaching our children about God should be a way of life. It is something we live out in our words, in our actions, in our thoughts. It is something that we live out by the way we treat our children. The last P of godly parenting is purpose. The big why. Why do we need to know God personally? And if we know Him personally, why do we need to teach our children about God? The reason? There is a purpose. We teach them diligently, and according to the Bible, it says, so that they may set their hope in God. This may sound so simplistic. Teach your children so they set their hope in God. The goal of biblical parenting is not merely to have kids who know the Bible and to have well-behaved kids. The true goal of biblical parenting is that our children and their children's children, the coming generations, as Alex was saying, may not forget God, but instead set their hope in God. The psalmist says, the Lord decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our ancestors to teach our children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Why? That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. The reason we need to teach our children is that they would set their hope in God when they grow up. That they will grow up anchoring their hopes in Jesus. Because if we don't, they will grow up anchoring their hearts and hopes on something else. I like how Joe Keller puts it. Worldly hope offers temporary assurance, but the things people long for can only be found in something outside of themselves. Hope is disguised as attaining the object hoped for, but never recognizing the source needed to acquire it. Hope becomes power itself, hoping for something that would fulfill their heart's desires, although deep down they know nothing in this created world has that ultimate power to achieve it. Isn't that beautiful? This is a headline I was reading the other day. People are dying to get likes on social media, literally. You've heard of the TikTok blackout challenge. I think about 15 people have died already. There's a new trend in the U.S. right now where you are asked to jump off the side of a speeding boat, and you don't dive, but you actually jump off standing. And 2 months ago, there have been 4 confirmed cases of death in Alabama of children, young people actually taking on this challenge. If we don't teach our children to put their hope in God, the world will teach them that hope is in receiving something. It could be fame, accomplishments, affirmation from others, being successful, becoming rich. But as a Christian, we know that our hope is placed in someone, not in something. And that hope is never threatened by anything that can happen around us, because our hope is found in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Our children's journey starts with the 3 P's of parenting. The prerequisite, we have to know God. We have to know the Word of God. The practice, teach them to your children. The purpose, so that they will grow old and they will not depart from what you have taught them, and they will set their hope in God and God alone. Parents, if you do not assume your God-ordained responsibility as spiritual leaders, your children will be led by someone else or something else. Remember, we will not have perfect children, but our objective is to lead them to a perfect God Our ultimate goal is not for our children to have great education, to become great parents or great husbands and wives, or to become a great somebody. Our ultimate goal is for them to love a great God and put their complete trust and hope in the finished work that Christ has done on the cross. Because in the end, parents, that is the only thing that truly matters. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us the privilege to present to you Liliana, Alejandro, and Theo. You said our children are a heritage from the Lord. Lord, as parents, we pray that you would help us to become good stewards of this blessing that you have given us. It's not easy being a parent, but Lord, you don't expect us to be perfect. You just want us to be faithful. And Lord, my prayer is that each and every parent here will stand faithful in teaching their children the ways and admonition of the Lord. Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage, the strength, and the grace to be good parents, to be godly parents, and to lead them in your way. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of our children, and we thank you for this beautiful blessing of being a parent. Lord, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise as we commit to you all the children here today, most especially Liliana, Alejandro, and Theo. We give you honor, Lord. Thank you for their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give God a good praise. And we'll see you again next week for the next installment of our celebration of our 7th year anniversary. We'll talk about our relationship with ourselves. And everyone, please enjoy some snacks and some food outside. And let's just have a moment of, you know, fellowship with one another. Praise God and have a great weekend, everyone.